three, two, one.
You lucky, lucky people. A day early, you're getting the UFC 246 episode of Eurobash, the greatest show on the continent. I can't believe how lucky you all are.
Oh, they're lucky, aren't they? A lucky, lucky bunch ahead of one of the biggest fights of the year. Great way to kick off the year.
It's getting big. It's starting to feel big for me. You know, I don't know if the rest of Ireland feels the same way as we do just yet. No. But I do have a feeling it's going to pick up a lot over the next week. You know, because Conor is Conor. And at the end of the day, you know, he's done a couple of interviews so far and they've blown the kind of top off the whole, you know, in terms of Twitter and stuff, everybody's talking. So it does feel like it's getting there.
Trend at number one, a couple of the interviews. So that says to me, you know, YouTube, everyone consumes their videos on YouTube these days as well, Pizza, you know that, and having Conor up there and everything.
Thought you were more of a Pornhub man myself.
But, you know, when he's up there on number one and you see Cavan up there, you see Roddy, you see everyone else that has been interviewed in the camp and they're all trending, it says to me that people are showing a bit of an interest in this scrap. And I agree with you. I think this week's a big week to really sort of get the motors behind the pay-per-view, and people's hype levels, I think, are going to increase tenfold from what it is at the moment.
Well, the thing is, right, like, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but I went into the street and I asked everybody about Conor. It's not like Conor's disappeared off the face of the earth. The interest is still there. People are interested. They know who he is. He's a household name here, but I guess the support is not where it used to be, right?
Yeah, no, like, listen, and we've talked about this for a number of weeks on the show here that, you know, no matter what you say, no matter what sort of world you live in, and obviously a lot of our listeners here are in the US, a lot of the people won't understand what the perception is like here. It's very, very different to what it is around the world, and especially obviously in the US. There's a very distinct lack of interest in this fight here at the moment amongst the general public. And I think you can understand why. You know, we've talked about this enough.
We'll take it through. Just before we do the news, we'll basically set the table in that regard, because maybe there's been a lot of people listening to the podcast that haven't before over the last few weeks. So, you know, when Conor, you know, first came out, and we'll make this short and sweet for all of you every week listeners, he was pushed out by us as, this is what it means to be Irish. Like, when he was on top of his game, we were so proud for him to represent us, and he became nearly the identity of young Ireland, out there doing what he wanted, like, you know, forging his own path in a sport we never knew of, you know, taking on the world, becoming a millionaire, all in a time of crippling recession here. So we pushed him up as this is what Ireland is. And then as he starts misbehaving and, you know, things happen outside of the cage, the people aren't just upset with him. They're upset with how it reflects on the nation, nearly, you know what I mean? And I think that's really where the jilted kind of situation between Ireland and Conor is now.
Yeah, the massive thing is, right, we never sort of had that type of character in Ireland before, so brash.
So used to the humble
underdog status. Yeah. We'd never had it. And I think to have someone like that and to come across and do what he did and the manner in which he did it in that, you know, 4 or 5 year spell was just sensational. And it changed the way we even think about sport maybe here to a large degree. I always look at that maybe in the Roy Keane incident in Saipan back in 2002.
And hugely polarizing situations.
Hugely polarizing situations where it's just a total, you know, 180 to what the Irish sporting culture has been. But another thing, if you look in the streets, Petey, you don't see the guys, the kids, as often
dressed up
like Conor, like the three-piece suits and the beard. That has sort of gone out of Irish, you know.
To be fair, Conor's not even wearing the three-piece suits anymore.
Well, that's it, but there's not a lot of imitation or sort of idolization of Conor McGregor.
It was rampant.
It was mental. Every night you went out, you'd see guys.
It's basically isolated to MMA now, whereas it used to be the broader culture. But look, we have loads to talk about. Let's hit up these news headlines very quickly. Josh Emmett is out of his fight with Arnold Allen. Look, trying to get a word with Arnold. It was meant to be in Raleigh, but look, as we've said last week, I think we'd be happy to see that put back on the London card if Josh is able. Grundy v. Amir Khani has been confirmed for UFC London. We reported that last week. Amir Khani first announced the fight via his sponsor, BetSafe. I wonder how the UFC feel about that. Tim Means v. Ramazan Emiev is set for UFC Rio Rancho in February. Marco Madsen will face Austin Hubbard on March 7th at UFC 248. Big, big spot there for the Olympian. Jack Cartwright will have his first title defense against Manuel Bilic at Cage Warriors Manny on March 7th as well. And what about this for a fight? Franz Malambo v. Ricky Bandejas, Charlie Ward v. Kyle Kurtz, and Beck Rawlings v. Ellen Calendau. are booked for Bellator Dublin. Yeah, so that's the headlines out of the way. But just on them for a second, Franz Malambo v. Ricky Bandeyas is ridiculous.
Savage. Absolute cracking fight. We saw what Ricky did, obviously, to James Gallagher. Franz is sort of really sort of... maybe we haven't seen...
Well, no, hang on. Franz has beaten Nathan Grayson and Dominic Wooding. That was...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe he didn't start off his career the way we would have expected him to, but he's slowly grown into that. And I think this is a potential fight of the night. It's an absolute cracker. And we've seen Ricky Bandeyas, what he's capable of doing. Another young lad. And I think it's one of those fights where you're just going... Shit, I pay money alone to go to this Bellator. And fair play, we've criticised Bellator with the matchmaking.
That's a great fight.
It's a great fight. It's a cracking fight. And I'm liking some of the fights they're doing on this card.
Yeah, I do agree with you, and it's a huge opportunity for Franz. I mean, if Franz beats Ricky, and Ricky having beat James, he's off to the races.
Yeah,
and
look,
you mentioned there earlier about Franz. The one thing I'll say is Brave rushed him way too much. Because he had won the world championship at amateur, he was put in against guys that were way too experienced for him. And he still held his own.
Yeah, with the champion. I mean,
credit for him,
and
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been... I'm looking forward to it, I really am, and I think maybe the lads of Bellator, the matchmakers, might be having a bit of a listen because they've put on some competitive matches, and it's cool. It's good to see. It's got me a lot more invested in the card, and I think a lot of the sort of casual fans... the hardcore fans will respect that decision from Bellator as well to start putting fights on like this.
Absolutely. Right, let's have a look at the mood in Ireland. I guess the unique perspective we can bring to this is how people are feeling in Ireland. So this is the weekend before McGregor's return. He has not fought since his fight with Habib in 2018. And looking through the papers today, there's not an awful lot.
Can we do the grumbly paper thing? There we go.
There we have them there. Looking through the papers, and we did, believe me, there's... not an awful lot or absolutely anything about McGregor's return. Look, one thing I'll say about this, right? The mainstream media in Ireland, calm down there, you're going to have a heart attack. The mainstream media in this country never really warmed to MMA. They kind of missed the boat. And I felt it was nearly even reluctantly when they couldn't ignore Conor after UFC Dublin. They started featuring him a lot more in their papers. And they were for world title fights. They were big, huge fights. There was tens of thousands of people going to Vegas to see Conor. It's a different situation now. But, like, I mean, has Conor, through his behaviour, nothing to do with what he's done in the octagon, but through his behaviour, as far as they're concerned, do you feel they've confirmed their beliefs? This is a barbaric sport. This isn't a sport. This is an entertainment-driven industry. I kind of feel the situation is.
100%. I think they don't... understand, and you know, we've been on the cusp a few times of getting things going and getting momentum behind things in the media here, in certain places, and I do believe that's the case, you know, because there is a huge general interest in the sport across this country. It's just not being reported on to meet the consumer's demand for it.
Because, like, they only see Conor, they don't see the rest
of Conor. That's what I'm saying. Because of the negative press and things that have happened there, he's tarnished the sport in this country to a large extent. And I think if anyone wants to argue about that, come see me, because it is actually a fact that that's been the case. And it is disappointing, but again, I just don't think the bosses and they realize how much or how many other polarizing figures there is. In this sport, in mixed martial arts, like if you guys like Reds, or the list could go on all day. Chris Fields, really respectful guys, just totally different characters to Conor McGregor, and his character has come across, and obviously he was the first sort of main character that we've seen that's really put the sport on the map here, and he's taken the sport down with him to a certain extent.
I completely agree with everything you're saying, but this is the thing, like, I felt like even at the height of his power, like the Mayweather fight, a fight that could have only been brokered by a man who was absolutely at the top of MMA, I'd be dragged onto these radio shows all over Ireland to be the MMA side of it. And you'd be like, lads, can we not just have a chat about this? Like, I mean, and they couldn't reconcile the fact that it was made for money, which was obvious to all of us. And they used to get annoyed when it came to picking the fight. And I'd be like, oh, Mayweather's going to win. And they'd be like, what? Yeah. I thought you were MMA. You're like, what are you talking about, mate?
Yeah, there's a lot of disrespect thrown our way at times as well.
But, like, I mean, how did they not even realise that this is going to be the biggest trafficked fight nearly of all time? And they didn't even do anything with
it. It's mental. It's again like next week. You know, the traffic would be huge if outlets were willing to take a chance, and not even take a chance, willing to cover it, because the hits are there. I think we've seen that, as I mentioned, on YouTube. And I totally agree with you. Like, you go in and you do an interview. We've done hundreds of radio interviews in Ireland now, and And the one thing I always sort of get and I always sort of take from it is, you know, you're going in and the host of the show said to you, oh, beforehand, oh, I don't really like MMA. And what's that got to do with it? Like, you know, they're telling you their stance before you go on air with them. Dude, there's no need for it. It's just ridiculous.
Dude, when Joe Carvalho died, I was brought into Game On and Hugh wasn't on and he was great. I love you, Cal. He had some other dude there. And the man's just died and his opener is... I don't like that sport at all.
That's what I always get.
All right, we're gonna a man's dead and we're gonna talk about this.
I don't like GAA, but I'm not gonna go in.
I mean, but it's a very different situation.
Yeah, I know 100%. I'm not saying that, but you know, you get that on a general basis, even if there isn't a tragic event like that as well. It just seems to be a general consensus amongst what goes on here. So yeah, it's very disappointing.
I do feel as though the coverage is gonna pick up at the end. Like they can't overlook the fact that this is going to be one of the most talked about events in the country, whether they like the guy or not. This is going to be one of the most talked about events next weekend in the country. Do you expect to see the papers by next weekend, Cary Connor on the back page and stuff like that, or do you think it's going to be a bit more towards the middle, let's say?
Towards the middle?
Really, you know, yeah? You don't think it gets back page?
I don't think so.
Is it Liverpool United next week?
It is as well.
That's going to be tough to contest with, all right?
It is, but I just don't think the media are willing to get behind him after the last sort of 18 months, let's just be honest about it.
And, I feel like they have to, though. This, like, towards the end of this week, like, the tabloids are 100% going to have to.
Yeah, I think the tabloids will. I can't see it, you know, on the spreadsheets here.
Broadsheets.
Broadsheets, Jesus Christ. Spreadsheets, fucking hell, I'm not an accountant. All right. But, yeah, no, I definitely think the tabloids will pick it up. But, no, I can't see it being on the broadsheets. And I think they have to, like, you know, it's going to do clicks online for them as well, you know, and people are going to pick it up if they see Conor McGregor, regardless what these guys say or not. The guy fucking sells, and that's the bottom line.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Like, it may not be the biggest McGregor fight we've ever had in Ireland, but any McGregor fight is bigger than most events that can happen in Ireland.
Like, of course it is.
I mean, way bigger.
Of course it is. Look, man, it's just bizarre. I don't fucking know, and I don't know what, you know, I don't know if there's any more we can really sort of say or do than we have over the last sort of, 10 years at this stage to try and sort of guide the sport anymore into the mainstream, because
I've pretty much washed my hands of the Irish media.
And it's something that I've pretty much done the same as well, because it's just so frustrating. Like, but listen, let's just hope things change, and let's hope that people give it a shot and give it a go this week here, because it's just disappointing. It's frustrating not to see it.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, I guess from the outside looking in, right, like, when I'm talking to people in the US, people in England, people everywhere, even us, like, I mean, is this the Conor McGregor's redemption song? Like, is this the one, like, is this the win that will lay the foundation for his comeback, so to speak? Like, do you believe that this will be the first step in kind of getting back to where he was? He may never get to where he was in terms of the height of his power, but can he win the people back, do you feel, with a victory here?
With a win, yeah. Well, to a certain extent, yes. I think he will win a large percentage of maybe the casual fans back that were sort of with him before the whole Habib stuff went down last October. I'm not so sure everyone, and I think that relates back to the media thing as well, what we're saying. If the coverage isn't going to be there, maybe the people aren't going to know about it. Do you know what I mean? You go on your computer, you're obviously going to see it. But in terms of people who are picking up, you know, the newspapers in the streets, maybe not. I don't think we'll ever see him back to that sort of full power of popularity that we've seen. Because I think Irish people are very, the country's so small here as well, people understand that once you're sort of damaged like that, it takes a lot more than maybe a win.
It's a country with a small town feel.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's it. You know what I mean? So I think it's harder almost to win back the Irish fans than it will be the Americans. Americans love a winner. They love a good, you know, a redemption story. We're just so used to that shit that I don't think it sells with us anymore. And I think maybe that's the reason why I'm not so positive that this will be the big redemption story.
Well, I think it definitely, like, if he wins, I think, you know, it is step one to getting back to something. But, like, as you said, at the height of his power, I don't think Ireland had ever seen anything like that before.
No.
Like, I mean, so it's not, like, crazy to say, oh, he won't be back to being bigger than Jesus in Ireland. Like, it's just, because that's what he was.
He was as popular as Cristiano Ronaldo across the world. And I don't think that's, you know, he's massively popular in China, Japan, everywhere. If Cristiano Ronaldo is
going over to see him in Vegas, well, he knows it's going to bolster his stock to be around Conor. So, like, I mean, that is a huge gesture, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. And I think we're far removed from that now. But a win will do more for him in America than it will for here in Ireland, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like they will be willing to accept that he is back to being the guy he was a lot quicker than people.
Yeah, no,
over.
I do. I think so. But
before we move on, we should we were on a conference call with John Kavanagh last week. Snuck in. It was for the UK papers, as far as I know. LPD got his head in there. But a lot of the things that we talked about last week, Niall, in terms of him being at the helm of the camp, you know, him saying that Connor, like, we're basically moving out of his way. He did clarify those comments on this, and I think that's important because, you know, we were starving for information coming out of the camp. Oscar puts out the two interviews, yeah, and we're going over them with a fine tooth comb, as we do. John's kind of clarifies what he said there. It doesn't seem to be what everybody thought it was, to be fair, where they're just kind of there and Connor's doing what he wants. But he talks about that. He also talked about, you know, I asked him about Connor's popularity in Ireland. And he said, personally, in person, he hasn't noticed any dwindling in popularity. Can you believe that? Like, I mean,
totally not.
I can believe it. If I was with Connor, I'd imagine I wouldn't notice. Like, I'd say when you walk into a place with Connor, people are still mobbing him.
But you know, as far as we're aware from what he said, and, you know, they weren't talking for quite some time.
Mm.
So I don't believe
But that's nothing to do with his popularity.
No, but I think, you know, obviously being removed from Connor, that he would have seen that.
Oh, yeah, but he didn't say that. He said, in person, I haven't noticed it. Could you believe that? I think I can, to be honest.
To a certain extent, yeah, if he's around Connor and stuff like that. And, yeah, obviously being around it, that, you know, you're obviously going to see the fans and everyone's going to be jumping on Connor and going mental, as they always do. So
it must be weird being Connor in that situation, that because he could probably walk down Grafton Street now and people would be all over him. And then, you know, when he's not there, people are, you know what I mean? It's
fascinating. That's another fascinating element to this fight.
Yeah.
Is if it's going to fuck his head up, you know, in terms of, you know, if there is to be booze in Vegas when he comes out.
I can't imagine
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but listen, man, you never know. Like, you never know. And I think there is, that adds more pressure on him, I think, to get a win. There's a lot of, a lot of pressure on Conor here.
And people don't realise how big a part of his whole thing the Irish people are. I mean, without the UFC Dublin card, when he's like, looks like, you know, he's the saviour of Ireland, basically, because everyone's losing their minds and it sells out in seconds and the loudest crowd ever for this guy. And, you know, now they don't like him. That's mental. Like, if you're American looking into that, it must be so strange. Like,
yeah, I've just noticed that as well. He hasn't, you know, come out with the Irish sort of phrases and slangs and sayings as much as he normally has.
Mm.
So maybe he realises that in his head that the support is gone wayward a little bit, and he doesn't want to sort of tap down those lines. So that's an interesting one to me, and another sort of dynamic and, you know, element to this.
There's
fight
so many subplots, isn't there?
It's mental. It's mad. We could talk about this all fucking year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, so let's get on to this conference call. Apologies for the feedback in the background. That was all Gareth A. Davies' fault. You know, he just left his phone on the ground, walked off, and came back 10 minutes later and asked a few questions.
He's unreal.
He's a gangster.
He is.
But look, I think this is some great stuff here from John. Shed some light on some of the questions that we were asking last week. So, yeah, have a listen, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes or so.
Hi, John. Thanks for your time this evening.
Well, it's 9 in the morning, so you're very welcome.
Of course. Connor said last year in an interview with ESPN that he felt he had to mend his relationship with you. Did you, A, feel the same, and B, did you have to fix the relationship?
Yeah, I suppose we had drifted a bit. He had a lot going on with life, with his, you know, whiskey business and other things going on. And my gym was getting very busy with a lot of new fighters joining. So that was a kind of a natural thing that happened. But it's been the last couple of months have been fantastic. I feel we're tighter now than we've ever been. So it's been good.
Was there a specific point that you sat down and thrashed things out and said, right, the past is the past, let's go again?
It wasn't really that. It was more he just kept showing up. I kind of wondered, would he be able to do the type of training required again? Because let's call a spade a spade. He's made a lot of money, and it's hard to go running when you wake up in silk underwear, as somebody once said. And he did. He just kept showing up. He kept training, pushing himself hard, and showing that, not just talking about, but showing that he wanted to compete at a high level again.
Chisang, do you want to go next? All right, cheers. Thank you. Hi, John. Thanks very much for taking the time this morning. Appreciate it.
Hello. No problem.
Okay, let me get started. Obviously, this fight is taking place at 170 pounds, and ahead of it, many people are wondering how Conor's cardio and endurance is going to hold out. How has he been so far training with the extra weight, and are there any concerns at all that the extra weight could have a detrimental effect on him?
It sounds like there's a wrestling match going on in the background there. Yeah, like, to be honest, I think he has a bit more lean muscle now, but I don't know if there's a huge weight difference now between the last few times he's made 155. He's woken up on weight, about 170 pounds now for the last few days, and that is not an unusual number for him to be at 155. He normally cut that last 15 pounds in the last 10 days or 12 days. So maybe there's a little bit of extra muscle, but I don't think it's that noticeable. But what I can tell you is that I've watched him do a lot of five-round cars, and he's barely breathing heavy by the end of it.
Okay, and in your recent interview with Oscar Willis of the Mac Life, you said that you foresee the fight finishing in the later round. What makes you think that?
I think my opinion on that has changed. What I'd really say is that what I see this fight is going to be is, a lot of people said about this fight where Eddie Alvarez is one of the most perfect fights they've seen of any MMA fight. It was just so correct. It was so technically correct. There was no wasted movements, no wasted technique, and that's what I see in this fight. And that could be short, that could be long. I don't think that part is as important. I think the tempo will be exactly as Conor said, and it will be a very, for people that are fans of MMA technique, it'll be a fight that will be studied for a long, long time, because it will be beautiful. It will be perfect.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, thanks very much. And thanks very much, John, for answering a few of our questions today. I really appreciate it. A lot has been made.
Top of the morning, Pete.
Exactly, yeah, for you anyway. But a lot has been made of the McLife interview, as Chisango mentioned, with Oscar. And you kind of saying that Conor's at the forefront of the camp, that he knows more about fighting than the rest of you guys combined.
I saw your tweets.
I know, yes.
I saw your tweet. Your concern is genuinely appreciated.
Is this normal for Conor? Like, I mean, has he always been at the helm of these things with game plans and stuff like that?
I think it was a little bit misinterpreted what I said. We've, of course, set out the training schedule and what each day will be. Right. I mean, more, Conor has an ability to see what shots are going to land better than me, or better than anybody else I've ever seen. So if he can see what shots are going to land and communicate that to us, then we can make sure that those are part of the pad session, for example, that I can inform the sparring partners that these are some of the looks that we want to see. But it's not like every Monday he sends me the 7-day schedule and says, okay, on Wednesday we're going to run 7K, and Thursday night I want, you know, it's
right.
It's me and the team setting out the schedule, but I more meant his fight IQ and being able to see what's going to win the
has
fight.
Has joined the conference.
Right. I appreciate that, John. I'm just wondering as well, you know, from the height of Conor's career, like, I mean, he was nearly like the patron saint of Ireland. Like, it was like pure idolization across the board. Like, I mean, it was always going to come down from them, but people are kind of making a big thing of his popularity dwindling considerably in Ireland. Do you feel like a win against Cerrone will get him back on track with the people? Because we know winning is so important when it comes to the public perception on sports.
I'd love for people to spend a little bit of time like I do driving through town with Conor, or having to call into a shop with Conor and being mobbed for selfies and people shaking his hand and congratulating him. So, yeah, I think people confuse sometimes Twitter life with real life, and people write some mean stuff on Twitter, but very, very few people are on Twitter. It's It's when you're actually in real life with him, going through Dublin and going through the airport, and there's just crowds of people screaming and running up to us. So I'm not sure if I agree with that. Yeah, maybe there's going to be a couple of people on Twitter who will write something nice after he wins, but I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
So you haven't noticed any drop-off in the support since, say, the Habib fight in Ireland?
When I'm physically with him, no. No, when I'm physically with him, no. All I just see is mobs of fans asking for pictures.
Nice one, John. I appreciate that, mate.
Great. Hi, sorry about that. Hi, John. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us this morning.
Hello, Joe.
Hi there. I was just wondering if I could talk to you very quickly. I know you mentioned how the training camp's going. You elaborated on sort of the game plan, quote you said early in the week. But obviously, given how the last two fights you've had, the boxing match with Floyd, then you've had Khabib, who's obviously so ground-orientated. How refreshing has it been going back to sort of looking at an opponent like Cerrone, who's so well-rounded in every aspect of his day?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be more contested in the kickboxing area, and you know, obviously that's Conor's strongest point. I'm not saying grappling is not a strong point, but the striking as well is usually one of the fights. Yeah, that makes it a little bit more fun.
Excellent. And obviously you've used Lockhart and Lee to help Conor in terms of preparation and nutrition, etc., for so long now. I just wondered, with this move up to welterweight, what is it? Is he eating more? Because he seems to be growing by the day. Every time he puts something on Instagram, it seems to be bigger. Is it a case of just eating more and training harder? Or?
Yeah, you know, this far out would be on fairly heavy calorie lowering the amount of calories he can have, and that's not the case. We've done, so give you an example, this far out, we would normally be on fairly light single sessions per day. Yesterday he did two heavy sessions, and one of those sessions was a full-on spar, which is incredibly unusual for this close to the fight, but I can't seem to tire the man out. He's got boundless energy because he's zero calorie deficit, and the guys from Lockhart, they know what they're doing about loading someone up on energy. So yeah, it's a lot of fun not having to hide every piece of food in the house from him, you know.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Joe.
Can I ask you, first of all, if you were to pick out one thing, what's the most important thing that we see from Conor in this return performance, win or lose? Obviously, winning is very important. But what's the most important thing that we see from Conor in this performance?
In this performance, let me see. I think you'll see a more relaxed Conor in this performance. Somebody who's calm. You know, if you rewatch the Eddie Alvarez fight, you'll see someone very tactical, someone very calm. A hell of a lot of pressure, but done in a controlled manner, and that's what I'd like to see in this fight.
Have you noticed since, I know that he's been with you training for a long time on and off, regardless of whether he's had actual prize fights in the octagon or in the ring. Can you talk to us about, you know, the hunger of a man who's extremely wealthy? Could you talk about the return of his hunger as a fighter, and that you've seen that and that you felt that with him in this camp?
Yeah, well, that was certainly the point that was of most concern to me, if you'd have asked me this a year ago. Is he going to be able to go back through the grueling camp for a professional fight? Because there's one thing training for fun, and, you know, I imagine he'll want to do martial arts of some description for the rest of his life, and you train it a couple of times a week and it's fun. But it's very different to the demands of training for a professional fight, where it's twice a day and there's a lot more impact. And that's what I wondered, would he still have? And he didn't tell me he did, and he didn't do a lot of interviews about it. He's actually been quite quiet the last 6 months. He just did it. He just showed up, and he took part in the team sessions, and he pushed himself very, very hard every time. This training camp, I was actually just thinking about it. It sort of started last Easter. He did a boxing contest last Easter, and he's been pretty consistent since then. So you're talking, it's almost 10 months long, and in that time, almost no missed sessions. So it's been a year coming, and he's not talked about it. He's just shown it for a year that he has that hunger to train at this level.
And finally, John, obviously Vegas is a place of maybe a few memories aren't perfect, but it has great memories of Conor's rise to stardom, to his success as a fighter in mixed martial arts, to yourselves as a team. Is it great to be back there as a group going through it again? Are you actually all enjoying that as a process as well?
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. And even in the last while, there's some of us that are involved in the training camps, we physically have different gyms now back in Dublin. And this is a chance for us all to kind of get back together and reminisce on old times. And we're driving through the strip and remembering different, you know, we were at Ramsay Burger the other night. And that's a sort of a tradition we go to when we're in Vegas. It's been over a year and a half since we've been here. And well, about a year and a half since we've been here. So a lot of great memories in this town. And it's good to catch up with some old friends. And it's been a lot of fun, yeah.
John, thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you very much for your time.
I'll see you then, brother.
John, this is Petey again. I'm just wondering as well, something you said on Twitter the other day. Do you think this will break the pay-per-view record? Are you confident that we'll do that?
He just seems to break records everywhere he goes, but I'll dismiss my own advice and instead stay in my lane because I'm not a promoter. I don't know, but it almost becomes routine that whatever the hell he does, he tends to break a record. So it wouldn't be that surprising to me if this one tops the But it doesn't affect my pay salary, PT, so I'll kind of shrug my shoulders and say, it'd be cool if it does, but, you know, whatever.
fair enough. Thanks,
and
man.
John, and sorry to interrupt you, PT. And it's Chisanga again, John. And recently on Twitter and in your interview with the Mac Life, you said that you expect to see the best version of Conor we've ever seen. What in particular makes you think that? Is it an improvement in skill set or... focus and change of mindset? What in particular has made you come out with that statement?
It's absolutely an improvement in skill set. He's the best fighter technically that I've ever seen. If you think about it, what do you need to get better or something? Time. So he's now physically training longer than he's ever trained in his life because we've had another year of training. So the technique has improved. And the mindset is return to a state of being relaxed, enjoying it, being calm, and being prepared, and being ruthless as well. That side is certainly there. So when you put all that together, that's why I'm fully expecting this one to be the best fight he's ever had.
Cheers, John. Thanks for the time.
Hi, John. Sorry, just to jump in there, if it's all right. It's Joe here again from TalkSport. Very quickly for me, if that's okay. Sorry, just to jump in there, like I said, I know obviously when Conor fights, the speculation about who he's going to potentially face next before even stepping in the octagon that goes off the charts. And he talked about, you know, what he wants to do. I just want to know, from your perspective, there's one fight I've heard you talk about ever since, you know, it happened a few years ago. Nate Diaz 3, is that still a fight you'd like to see somewhere down the line for Conor, potentially this year?
Absolutely. I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of Nate, fan of the Diaz brothers. And the two fights they had were fantastic, were 1-1. So it seems inevitable that those paths are going to cross again. But let's see what happens.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Can we just get a quick prediction? Who do you think is going to win between Tony and Khabib?
If I had to put money, I would say Khabib by decision.
Now, very interesting stuff from John. Great to be on that conference call with him, with all those lovely, lovely journalists like Chisanga Malata and Garrett A. Davies, my spirit animal.
Even though he ruined it.
He ruined it and he made Go it all at the God. Same time.
He's a gas man.
Right, so I'm just going to hit you with a few cool. of these quotes so you can hear what he has to say. First of all, I'm just going to talk about something that was a big one with the Oscar interview, is him saying that Conor looks better than ever. Now, he's doubled down on that sentiment in here on the conference call. He says, I think my opinion on that has changed. This was about it being in the later yeah. rounds. He said, what I would really say is that I see this fight. A lot of people said his fight with Eddie Alvarez was one of the most perfect fights they've ever seen. It was so technically correct. And that's what I see in this fight. And that could be short or it could be long. The tempo will be exactly as Conor sets. And for fans of MMA, it will be a night that will be studied for a long time because it will be beautiful. It will be perfect. Is that like putting a lot of pressure on Conor?
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't know where he's at. That's the fascinating thing. Another fascinating element, because he's fought once in the octagon in since the Eddie Alvarez fight, since that fight.
How many guys have we saw take a gap off? Like even from the Khabib fight and come back and be that like resounding, just knock over an all-timer really in Donald Cerrone.
Not many.
Yeah.
Like not many. So
Cruz against Mizugaki, that's all I can.
She's like,
he's out for a long time though, isn't he?
It's a tough one, and you know, I'd be more sort of, you know, if you put everything together and you sort of think about it, lucky that he had that Khabib fight for me. If he hasn't had that fight and he's coming back now, obviously that's all bullshit talk from me, but it would be a totally different sort of ball game. So I think, you know, him coming back in now, having that Khabib fight, will maybe lit a bit of fire under his arse. And he'll want to go out and make a statement. And listen, you know, he probably was injured the toe. We heard all the rumours beforehand when he dislocated the toe, gone into the Khabib fight. You know, maybe that was a massive issue, but clearly Conor has been training for the last 6-7 months. So
but I'm asking, is he perfect? Do you anticipate him being perfect, as John says?
No.
Yeah, I can't either. I really...
You just can't.
If he does, it's amazing. Every bit as special as we yeah. have said in the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And listen, his body looks great. You know, aesthetically, physically, he looks really, really big. Mm. He looks really ripped. He looks frustrated in his face and old, though. He's sort of got old looking, I think, in the last couple of years. So maybe that shows you where he's at on a mental level, physical level. You know, he's a lot more serious, I think, in the interviews we've seen. But perfect, I think it's a very, it's an out there comment from Mr. Kavanagh.
Okay, here's the clarification on the training camp. As I put it to him, a lot of people had been talking about this since it came out, and he said, I saw your tweet. But I mean, what else are we meant to do? But here's what he said about the training camp, and I asked him to clarify, and I'm actually glad he did. We of course set out the training schedule, what each day will be. I meant more that Conor has an ability to see what shots are going to land better than me or anybody else I've ever seen. If he can see what shots are going to land and communicate to us, then we can make sure they're part of a pad session, for example, and that I can inform the sparring partners that these are some of the looks we want to see. It's not like every Monday he sends the 7-day schedule and says on Wednesday we're going to run 7K on Thursday night. It's me and the team setting out the schedule, but I meant it more in terms of fight IQ. Now that I understand, I think that's fair to say that Conor probably has better fight IQ than anyone in Ireland. So you know, that's fair enough. But
yeah, but I thought it came across when he said it originally with Oscar that, you know, in terms of...
Oh, it definitely came across that way.
I can understand what he said there. Yeah, on the quotes you've read out.
But it seems like a very different answer, right?
It does seem like a very different answer. And it's a tough one to work out. And I think we talked about what Roddy had said and what John had said last week as well. And it was very conflicting even in that. So yeah, I can understand what he means there, but I'm a little bit fucking flabbergasted again. I don't know what to say with some of this stuff. I think
It's a big shift.
Maybe they're doing it on purpose. Maybe they want us to guess. Maybe they want us to fucking think 10 different things.
Are they just listening to Eurobash and pissing themselves?
Probably, yeah. It's a fucking clusterfuck. It is. The whole last 2 weeks with all these interviews, I'm sitting in bed at night going, Jesus, what about this, that? Fucking hell, man. I yeah. I don't know.
Here's the golden. Here's the line on popularity, which I talked about beforehand, and you can give me your reaction. Yeah. I'd love for people to spend a little more time like I do driving through town with Connor or calling into a shop with Connor and being mobbed for selfies and people shaking his hands and congratulating him. I think people confuse Twitter life with real life and believe stuff on Twitter. In real life, going through Dublin and the airport, there are crowds of people screaming and running up to us. Maybe a couple of people on Twitter who will write that if he wins, but I wouldn't hold my breath on that. I'd say when he's talking about who will write that if he wins, they'll be talking about his popularity dwindling in Ireland. It's an interesting way he's framed that, right? Because he didn't really answer the question in terms of has he noticed the drop in support on Twitter.
He's said the positive things when he's out with Connor, when he goes into a shop, and you know, the nice side of Connor. And we've all seen it. And there is, there's a lot of things that Connor has done that have gone largely unnoticed. A lot of good things that he's done, you know, the children's charity, with the children's hospital, should I say. You know, he did the same in the US. He's done lots of really, really good things. But yeah, that's not answering the question. That's looking on the positive sides, what he's experienced when he's been with Connor. Connor's a very different person, I think, when he's away from the camp and away from John Kavanagh. We've seen that time after time, that Connor's best behaviour is obviously when he's in camp, in the gym, in with SVG. And when he's outside of that, he's a very, very different person.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually that answer that when he said that, I was like, people are going to think I'm making this up. So that's when I went out to the street. Like, that's when I was like, we've got to do this. Like, and I wanted to see as well, to be honest. I was like, maybe I do have it arse ways, but did you see that video? The video of me talking to people?
I watched it there this afternoon. And, you know, it's interesting because you sort of, it's given me a hope that people are going to tune in and watch it, you know.
And the reconciliation.
With the girl, I thought, she was like, yeah, I know he was fighting. Yeah, I might stay up and watch. Like, that is there.
Yeah.
It's about getting it across. And how it comes across is going to be the press conference next Wednesday.
I agree with you too. Like, I mean, but I do feel as though the thing I got from it was, we're right in what we're saying. Like, the popularity has definitely gone down. 100%. I think the dogs in the street know that. But but the popularity has definitely gone down. He's still probably the most famous sportsman in Ireland.
Easily.
But I also got the feeling that for at least 80% of the people I interviewed, that there is that room for reconciliation. Like, they are kind of saying, maybe he will get back into our good books. You know what I mean? But I don't think they're going to, as you said earlier, I don't think they're going to be as big as, you know, he has ever been or anything like that. But I do feel as though he has room to get back into better graces.
Yeah. I think anyone does with a win. And I think it's going to be very important the way he conducts himself this week. Because you know, I know, Habib, press conference, last time out when there was no fans there. That was
horrific.
That was bad, you know, and there was a lot of people after that. That was the first sort of, I think we saw a negative push towards his name, his brand, where people were going, Jesus, maybe we don't really like
probably
this
the
guy.
Bus thing though before
yeah,
that, right?
Of course. I forgot about the bus. I was even there in Brooklyn. Like, I was there fucking covering the fight. But yeah, that would have been the first one. Then the Habib thing. Then obviously
it before it that.
All right, yeah. Well, you know, it's been
Mark Goddard in the Bellator cage, yes. The homophobic slur in Prague.
Right. Okay, like, there's been a lot. but yeah, no, that's, you know, that's what I mean in terms of, you know, we don't forget, I think, as quick as you've just even mentioned it there. You've just given a perfect example of that. So people in Ireland, well, I
there's
think.
There's been a lot, man.
There has. I'm just going, fuck. It's like, shit, there fucking has been, really. So it is hard to forgive and forget. And I think we're such a small nation. News gets around quicker. Shit gets around faster.
And both, like, I mean, rumours, like,
spread like fucking wildfire.
No, hang on. We know this better than anyone. Yeah. Man, I can't tell you the amount of lies that I've been told about Connor. Yeah. Like, and that's not to say everything about him is a lie, but
it's
the
six,
amount of people,
stories.
Like, I mean, at the height of his career, the stories people were telling me, like, I'd wake up on Sunday morning and I'd have about 50 different, like, stories that don't correspond with each other. They could have been all dotted around different parts of Ireland, and people be like, that's actually happened. And you're like, it didn't, though.
It's crazy. That's Ireland all over. Like,
every uncle you have, a mate of mine told me.
I know him. My dad's sister's friend's mother. All this rubbish, man.
He rescued a sheep from a field beside ours.
He rescued a cat from a burning fucking house. Like, that sort of shit's going on. And it's crazy in Ireland. I don't think you get that in the States. And I think that's why maybe we tend less to forgive here. And we're a nation of fucking begrudgers. We've chips on our shoulders as well. And I don't think we like to see people doing well at the best of times. But the one thing I'll tell you, and I always say this when Connor's fighting, you know, you maybe hate the guy, you know, you love the guy, but somehow whatever happens in Ireland, people always end up fucking watching it and getting behind them. It's weird. It is weird. But maybe this time it's a trip too far. That's what I feel. But it's going to be very interesting.
We may as well have a look at this card because we have not done that yet. You know, there is not a heap of European interest on there. We have Alexei Oleinik taking on Maurice Green. We have towards the opening of the card, we have Nasrat Haqparast and Drew Dober. And of course, we have Askar Askarov and Tim Elliott, a fight that I'm really, really excited about. But what's jumping out to you there, apart from the obvious?
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned Tim Elliott and Askar Askarov. Tim obviously is a little bit of a purple patch since that world title fight. It's been a bit up and down for him, but very much looking forward to that. You know, Davidson Figueroa, he's getting a world title shot, obviously, against our good pal, Megan O'Leary's good pal.
Joey B.
So that's going to be an interesting one. Really, really, really big. Askarov's coming off a draw. Is that right?
Yeah. And look, Tim Elliott's a top opposition. Like, I feel like he had a tough first fight as well. I can't remember exactly who he fought, but it was he's a real talent, man. He's an outrageous talent, Askar Askarov. So I think if he does get a win there, it's going to be huge for him, you know? Yeah. I think he will struggle, though, the fact that he doesn't speak English. He's actually deaf. I don't know, like, you know, how his communication is really at all. It's a fantastic story.
Is he? I actually didn't even realise
that. He can't hear his corner when he's fighting. Like, it's incredible. It really is. He's an incredible guy.
That's phenomenal. I didn't realise that. What did he do, sign language, I presume?
I just don't think he really...
They're just totally...
Yeah, just off you go. Like,
wow. And that makes it even more impressive.
Yeah. He's an insane grappler. So.
Holy shit. Yeah, no, he is. I was impressed with him on his debut. Obviously, he was a draw. But I'm looking at, you know, some other fights. I think Macy Barber is a fascinating character.
Yeah, I mean, it's all there for her.
You
know,
she's 21 years of age. She sells herself so well. She says the right things. We were chatting about the tweet she said to Roxanne Modafferi, who's obviously, you know, a pioneer of women's mixed martial arts. And she put out that tweet of Roxanne being real nice to her and then just totally fucking ruined her in the response. But and she made it public. So
I didn't think it was that big of a diss, to be honest.
It was sort of like, fuck you, I'm the future, as she said. But listen, this girl is going places. We saw her TKO of Jillian Robertson last time out. You know, three on the bounce in the UFC since her debut in Dana White's Contender Series when the UFC signed her. She says all the right things. She does all the right things. This is a lady you're going to watch for in one of the UFC's shallower female divisions. So, you know, a big, big test against Roxanne Modafferi. I think this is a coming out party for her. I'm very, very excited for that. And I think another one, a female fighting to mention as well, Claudia Gadelha against Alexa Grasso. That's a really, really good fight in paper.
I think massively it's Grasso's time there. I think it's a great time for her to be fighting Gadelha. She hasn't had the best of it.
Claudia's been all over the place, man. She's jumped from gym to gym. She seems very unsettled. She's not in a great place in her career. And I think Grasso was finally sort of getting to the grips of the UFC. And we saw that last time out when she fought. So I'm impressed with her. And I've always been impressed with her. I remember watching her Invicta before she came through the UFC. She's a talent, man.
Sadiq Youssef has a similar fight against Andre Feely as Barber has against Modafferi, as far as I'm concerned. Feely's in a great, great place, though. Like, I mean, it's the worst time to be fighting Andre Feely, but Sadiq Youssef looks insane.
Yeah, he's a killer.
As I said in the A-side last week, he's been on my radar since he was 16, when he was in there, Lloyd Ervin there in his gym, when he had that group of lads living in that place. They had a reality TV show and everything. He was insane, though. Nasrat Haqparast.
Yeah, sure, we've talked about Nasrat for God knows how long.
Three fights on the bounce now.
Savage.
You know, and I do fancy him against Drew Dober, I have to say. I really do. I really fancy him to get a big win there. But, you know, look, Anthony Pettis being on this card, I can't help but keep on going to it every time. Like, was this supposed to be, remember you were talking about the time, was this supposed to be Anthony Pettis v. Donald Cerrone this week? And then it just...
Yeah, it was 100% supposed to be Anthony Pettis. You know, Duke came out and said that, you know, this rematch was long overdue. It was going to happen about 2 weeks before the UFC came back to Team Pettis and said, Donald is unavailable. So effectively, that's what Team Pettis were told and Rufus Sport. The fight didn't happen. They shifted in a new opponent for him, put Donald Cerrone against Conor McGregor, and that's it. You have to feel sorry for Pettis to a certain extent, because Anthony was calling for Conor last summer as well. I did an interview with him, He was so keen to get that fight against Conor McGregor. It didn't happen. And it's a fight we sort of talked about many a year ago as well, that it would have been a fantastic fight.
It was the first super fight he was looking for. Because then RDA took his title and then it became the RDA fight, you know?
So, yeah, no, it's an interesting one. And, yeah, you got to feel sorry for Franny. And people are forgetting that he's on this card, man. And I always loved that guy fighting. And I know we haven't seen the best of him in the last few years. Obviously, the Wonder Boy fight. So he's back down at lightweight. I like it. And I'm looking forward to that one as well. Should we go on?
I'm not buzzing for Holm v. Pennington.
Yeah, I think it's going to play out in the feet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously Raquel is a very underrated boxer, I feel, but you got to go with Holly, man, and what Holly's able to do on her feet in terms of styles. I think Holly's going to make a statement here, I really do. It's a big, big fight for her as well.
Do you think the criticism of the card is rightful? Like, I feel like it's a bad time for the card to be having after UFC 245 with so many title shots on it, so many big names. Like, we had a few good pay-per-views back-to-back-to-back there, and now this obviously doesn't have a title fight on it, but it does have, of course, Conor McGregor on it.
I think the strategy this year is going to change, and I think we're going to see more cards like this. I'm a little bit disappointed maybe that... you know, the likes of, I talked about Sean O'Malley potentially being on this card. Maybe a few younger sort of athletes. Obviously, Macy Barber's on its grade.
Askar Askarov as well, yeah.
Askar Askarov. These are guys that need promotional pushes, and I think they're doing
McGregor
it right.
The McGregor spotlight, so to speak.
Exactly, 100%. So I think we're going to see this year, and I think I like it to a certain way, because I think when we get like 3-4 title fights, we saw it a couple of years ago when they did like the UFC 200 card, I think there was like 4 title fights at the top, and they're actually... looking for main events then going into the new year, and it just gets a little bit all over the place. So I think this is better. I think you've the younger stars on the cards that you can promote and sell, and the UFC always needs to start progressing guys and putting them in the spotlight. So for me, I think it's a sign of things to come under this ESPN regime.
Is it fair to say this will be the most bought pay-per-view since BT brought it in? Like, I mean, I don't think Conor and Habib wasn't it?
Conor Habib wasn't, no, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I was over there, so I can't really remember, but I don't think it was. No, I think it was free to air on the subscription alone. But you're talking numbers.
We won't get into numbers just yet, but in terms of Europe.
Yes, that will be on BT's radar, definitely. You know, I couldn't really understand. I talked about this last week that they didn't put Diaz and Masvidal on the pay-per-view here. And then they had John Jones on against Santos. On pay-per-views. Some weird like things going on there. I don't think we know where they're at, but they're definitely taking advantage of the draw and the name that Conor McGregor is here to bump up their pay-per-view sales here in UK and Ireland.
I've wrote down a few questions that I wanted to ask us, so we could both discuss them, I guess. I think we've already touched on this one, but do you think he will look as perfect as Kavanaugh is saying? Like, that's just a bit hard for me to take. Like, I mean, even Conor was kind of talking about getting his sharpness back in that interview with Oscar, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously that's what he wants, is Conor to be perfect. But, you know, I think when you're looking at perfection, I don't think we're going to see a performance from Conor McGregor like that we saw against Eddie Alvarez, in terms of going out there and just, you know, blowing the absolute doors off it, because he's coming off a pretty lax performance against Habib Nurmagomedov. You know, Eddie Alvarez was the last fight before that. So I just don't see where the turnaround's going to come into play here in terms of like his training camp and what he's going to be able to implement. You know, there's questions over the gas tank. There's just too many things that have gone on here for John Kavanaugh to be looking for perfection. I think if he gets half perfection over what he's going on, he'll be a happy man.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to set that, but I don't think it's realistic.
Right, so we know Dana has said he's going to get Habib if he wins here. Conor has been talking about Usman, guys like this. You know, if he struggles to win, even if he gets the win, but he doesn't make it look maybe as exceptional as we've seen him before, do you think still think the UFC push him into that title picture, because, you know, a Conor McGregor title fight is big business?
Yes, I think we're going to have problems here again. I think from the interview we watched last week with Oscar, and I said this last week to you, when Kamaru Usman's name was mentioned, There was a glint. You saw that little smirk in Conor's face.
Yeah.
Conor has always outlined that he wants to be a three-weight world champion.
Yeah.
I think the UFC will want to do the Habib rematch because obviously, financially, it makes a lot of sense
but
for them to do that.
Will Conor want to snub him?
That's what I'm saying. I think we could get into this sort of back and forth now again for a long, long time. And potentially, you know, I think Conor might go this 170 route. I'm not so sure we're looking at Habib before the end of the year. I really believe that now. Just from watching that interview last week, I think it might be on the back burner in Conor's mind, UFC's mind. They'll want to get it done in the summer. And Habib's mind as well, yeah. So, yeah, I think Conor's going to go after this 170-pound title. I would not be surprised.
Where would Cerrone, if it goes according to plan for McGregor and he gets the win, where would Cerrone rank in terms of the opponents he's beaten? Because that's something I feel like people are overlooking. This guy is not a walk in the park. He is not.
He's certainly not a walk in the park.
He's perfect. He's a perfect matchup for Conor. Don't get me wrong.
He is a perfect matchup. But he's certainly not a walk in the park. But look, he doesn't rate too highly for me in terms of who Conor's beaten. Because
so who would you rate ahead of him?
Well, I think you'd have Jose Aldo. Definitely. No problem. Probably Eddie Alvarez at the time in his career. Obviously not so now. You know, Eddie's gone through a little bit of up and down recently. But then you look at, you know, like Chad Mendes. Chad was probably ahead of him.
I wouldn't rate Chad Mendes ahead of Donaldson.
Well, Chad had only really lost to Aldo. Look what you know, Cerrone's record in his last few. Coming off two losses. You know, obviously he had those three wins and the bounce, then lost to Leon Edwards. He's been up and down, Donald. There's been no real consistency. He's, you know, jumped a couple of divisions as well. You know, obviously lightweight, then up to welter for a stint, back down again, back up.
Like, he's not better than Max Holloway either, is he?
Yeah, like, he should be winning this fight. If he wants to go out there, start this year, and to talk about this season and all these fights, it's not about even getting a result here. It's about making a statement. It really is that simple. And I don't care what anyone says. That is the mindset. John's looking for perfection, as he says. Conor has this glint in his eye. He seems refreshed, as we saw in the interview, the snippet with Ariel. He's focused, but, you know, can he implement it? That's the question I think everyone's looking to see here. Can he go out and replicate that form that where he was that star and that champion? It's going to be fucking interesting.
Yeah, I do. I agree. Do you feel as though, another question, do you feel as though he is going to do astronomical numbers here? Like the word on the street is that Nate and Jorge did about 600K. You got to remember that the new thing has been put in place there with ESPN. That's making it harder for people to get the pay-per-views because it's two walls, really. You have to be paying for your monthly subscription on ESPN plus to open the window to pay for the pay-per-view, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And
what would be huge here, would you say?
Oh, you know, a million, I think, would be, you know, 1.1, you know, 1 million.
Crazy.
I think that would be a good number for the fight that it is as well. Like, I'm, as I said just there, I think I'm expecting Conor to win this fight. And I think maybe, you know, because of what's on offer there out for Conor in terms of opponents, this is obviously not the most attractive in terms of what the sort of casual fan would want to see. So I think that might hinder a little bit, but I'm still expecting the people to tune in to see this whole narrative of Conor coming back and can he, you know, redeem himself from what's gone on. So it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see a million. I think it will be ESPN deal we're going to see, definitely. I do thoroughly believe that. I think after Wednesday, that's when it's going to kick off.
Do you expect him to fight three times in 2020?
Yes.
I do as well.
Depending on the result. But if he wins, I expect him to win, yes.
But when he was fighting, he was always fighting. Like, I mean, this is what people don't... Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, if he is taking this seriously, he should be fighting three times this year.
Yeah.
Basically. Oh yeah. That's the way McGregor goes. Like.
Without doubt, you know, we mentioned it earlier on. I would like to see this be a constant year of, like, 2 week holiday at the end of this fight, depending how it goes, straight back in the gym.
It'd be great.
Fight announced. And I think that's what he needs to do as well. People are maybe forgetting about this. You said it there, you know, he needs to be fighting, needs to be in the gym. If you're getting constant momentum, if he wants to go back in the public's mind, the public spotlight, do the right things, say the right things, have the, you know, laugh and spirit back, he needs to do this. It's not about just coming in and out. This fight was only announced 6 weeks ago as well.
Mad.
He needs to have a year of his face in the public spotlight for the right reasons. And the only way he does that is by going out, knocking out Donald Cerrone and saying good things at press conference and getting people invested again.
Yeah, yeah. We'll touch on that again later. But two final ones. I'll answer these as well. Does he fight for a title in 2020? I'm going to say yes.
Yes, I think he will fight for a title, whether it's the 155-pound title or the 170-pound title.
Or a BMF, maybe. You know they're going to whip that out for Conor. If Conor fights Masvidal, 100% that belt is going to be on the line.
Yeah, of course it will, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Does he...
Fuck the BMF here's the
last
title.
One. Here's the last one. Does he win a UFC title in 2020?
I don't know how he even...
I don't think so.
I don't know how he even...
Right now it's hard for me to say.
It's hard for me to say yes now. It is, I think.
But he has shut our mouths before, so...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but at the moment, no. I think we'll wait till Saturday to make a thorough statement on that, but no, at the moment.
I just wanted to mention it, because we forgot to mention it during the show, and I was meant to. You know, initially after those interviews came out, as we mentioned earlier with Oscar, you know, there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of, like, people nitpicking here and there, and look, Oscar did a great job, I'm sure. Like, your first time interviewing Conor McGregor straight after a training session in front of all his training partners is an awkward position to be put in. And
Oscar, great job, yeah.
Oscar certainly didn't seem like it was awkward for him. But I did notice, like, the clip that Ariel has put out with Conor, and he's sitting down. He seems a lot like the guy we used to know there, doesn't he? He seems like that's the calm, cool. The little joke about the flu, like, that stood out to me a million miles.
I was going to mention that to you, because he goes on about, you know, oh, the respect for him, his family, his grandmother, and then has that little fucking joke, little dig in there. And that's why I think we're going to see something, you know, turn its head at 180 on Wednesday.
It makes you feel like, you know, that it is there still. And, you know, the fact that he's joking, like, he's nearly like, he can't believe that Ariel's even suggesting he could lose the fight. You know, you can see, like, it's not even like he's planned this. He's like, oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, are you serious? Yeah.
But
that's what we need to see.
Yeah, but this is what you were saying. You were saying he should have come out and explained to people how he's changed. Just what I kept on talking about Tyson Fury. My face is purple saying it. It wasn't just that Tyson Fury came out and won a fight. He went on a press tour telling everybody how much he changed, explaining to them why he's changed, explaining to them all the things he does to help himself, to how it's still a struggle, how he's still working on it. I think that was the one key component we were missing here instead of ahead of this fight after everything that's happened.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And I think based on that little clip, what I'm looking at there, I'd say it was one of those conversations with Ariel where if he puts all his cards on the table here, which I expect he does, I feel like it's going to warm him to the public a lot more.
Yeah, I think we got that tone from the snippet that was put out, that it was way more relaxed, chilled. The little joke was thrown in there. And I think a lot, you know, I think this interview sets up the week well in terms of what Conor's going to do and say in the media. It could go tits up, it could go 180, it could 360, who fucking knows what way it's going to go. I think this sets up the week nicely. The interest is going to be there from the get-go, and we'll see what Conor McGregor on the Wednesday. I'm intrigued about this press conference, just to see what's said, what's asked, what his answers are like, how he reacts to Donald. And I think there is going to be some real sort of
fireworks
the press conference.
You expect animosity because he's being so nice in the build-up,
don't
you?
Yes, I think this is a psychological plan from Conor McGregor to, oh, Cowboy's watching this going, he's not a bad dude. And then, boom, flip on Wednesday, and it's all going to fucking kick off. I would not be surprised that. But
I wouldn't be surprised if he wasted a weigh-in, just that final face-off, and just goes ballistic like he usually does. And it's like, because Conor doesn't really... I feel like Conor can't really control himself when he's doing them final face-offs. Like, he's like a...
Yeah.
Like, ever since he's a kid, he was doing this. Like, it's just like he switches out, like...
The Dave Hill fight was... Remember that one? Yeah. He was just going bonkers at that. So, I would not be surprised. I think the whole week is intriguing. But I just have this feeling, man, that we're going to see some fucking mental on Wednesday.
And I just really want to say, you know, if you hear Ariel using colloquial...
Irish
Dublin slang. This is his teacher. I am his teacher. Don't let any of those other guys, these fighters, go, oh, yeah, we taught. No, it's always me. And maybe you might hear some. I don't know. I don't know anything. But I thought it would be nice to finish off, Niall, to... I'm very sad that you won't be in Vegas this time. We haven't been in Vegas together since 2016. Time. I wouldn't say.
Is that long?
It's probably for the better of MMA Fighting's coverage on the week, but, I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah, no. I'm disappointed. You know, things didn't work out the way I would have liked to over the last year, and just in certain aspects of my MMA coverage. So, yeah, listen, I'm not there, and just have to take it on the chin. I'll be pissed off during the week, but I'm sure you'll have a fucking drink for me at some point.
I haven't had a drink in January. I don't know. I'm going to try and stay squeaky clean.
I think you're lying.
I haven't. No,
did
I
you not have a few no. last week.
No, I haven't had any.
I'd be very, very good the last month and a bit. Like, I have.
Yeah. Now, I made shite of myself over the Christmas, as I said earlier. Like,
yeah. I didn't either. Like,
I drank for both of us in Ireland. Both of us over
Christmas.
I was
bound to pick, actually, with you.
What is it?
Welsher.
What did I do?
You and that little feckin' blonde-haired git, Jose Young's, having a little pop at me on fucking... Yeah, you saw it.
What did we say?
You were fucking bitching about me a little bit. I don't, man.
It's not bitching when you're saying it in public.
I hear everything.
Thanks for supporting the show. Thank you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Look, man, I can autograph your laptop if you
Jose.
Want.
Oh. Jose can just shut his mouth because he's calling out too many people, right?
He's gonna get bet in Vegas.
Oh, I'm gonna kill him.
He thinks I'm friends with him. I'm gonna smash his face in as soon as
Thank
I see
you.
Him.
At least we're sticking together on this.
Maybe not the face, because he is very good looking. Actually, I'll just destroy his body.
Destroy his face. He is too pretty.
It'd be like desecrating the Mona Lisa.
But listen,
or
here's a message for you, Mr. Youngs. Watch your fucking self.
Oh. We'll know if he listens to the show now, because this is at the very end.
Oh, bury that guy. He's in trouble.
Can
now.
I be special guest referee?
I think him and Mike Baum are having a bit of beef on Twitter. Well, I'm telling you, I just haven't been on Twitter now much as we can, because we've been in here. But just watch yourself, son. You're digging a hole. I'm going to Tito Ortiz you. Boom. Straight in that.
Or I could be like special guest referee and pretend to be Jose's friend. Oh, and then just at the last second, pick up a chair and smash him across the back.
But get a baseball bat with barbed wire wrapped around it and wrap it off. He's a wrestling fan, isn't he?
I never leave home without it.
Cheeky little fucker. I can't believe it.
But, it doesn't feel like, you know, the thousands are sailing over to Vegas to watch this fight. Like, you know, like it was our... It was... Conor, Mendez, Aldo, even Diaz to a lesser extent, they were our Italian 90. Like, that was our generation sporting moments. Yeah. So it's like...
Yeah, the feeling, you know...
It's hard when you go over, I'm sure, like, you were a Habib, and it isn't the same as that, but you also don't want to be, like, throwing water on the fact that it is a huge event by going, like, oh, not the same amount of guys here, right?
Yeah, I just think, you know, I think the difference from the Mendez fight to maybe the Habib fight, Conor became so far removed from society, from the people.
He no longer belongs to the Irish, he belongs to the world.
To the world, yeah. And I think when you become that famous, you know, you can't really go out as much. Maybe people see you in a different light, which clearly they do with Conor. And I think the Mendez fight was that sort of transitional point where he was one of the people to becoming a world massive star. And
a maybe global commodity, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
that's where the separation became between... It's like a soccer player like Cristiano Ronaldo or something, you know. You have people going to games every week. You know, Cristiano's getting fucking 200 grand a week, maybe. He's not paying your fucking, you know, mortgage if you're a gaff. It's that sort of thing. But, you know, I don't think you'll ever top the Chas Mendes fight. That was a special, special time for Irish mixed martial arts.
In Irish sport.
It was... It was unbelievable, and it's hard to replicate those feelings, and I don't think we'll ever really replicate those feelings, because it was probably the most special event I ever covered in my life. Was 189. You'll probably say the same as well.
That and the UFC Dublin one. That was the first one.
Yeah,
the first one with Conor on it.
Incredible. Like, yeah. New York was cool as well.
Yeah, it was deadly. I'd love to go back there. But last one. We'll end on a cliche. Let's do the predictions. Final prediction for that main event, Niall.
I think Conor's, I just think if we look at the sort of the way you can beat Donald Cerrone, I look at the, you know, I've said it before, the Darren Till sort of game plan, you know, close him down, don't let him get space. He's always struggled with guys that come in his face. It's just, he's always sort of struggled with guys who forward pressure and cut down those angles. So I expect Conor to be able to hunt him down and land that left at some point. And that's interesting as well, PT, that, obviously breaking the hand as well. I don't know if that's going to have much of an impact.
Oh, shit, yeah.
You know, that
there's so many different things going on
that it's going to be intriguing to see when he lands that left for the first time, how Donald reacts. But I expect Conor to get him out of there within three rounds. I don't see it going outside four or five, which John said a couple of weeks ago. Unless Conor wants to toy with him, if he's that confident. But I don't think he would want to do that with Cowboy Cerrone. And I think Cowboy wins this fight. The only way he wins the fight is getting the fight to the ground. And looking for submission. I don't see it.
7-1 on Paddy Power. But I agree with you. I think second round, Conor McGregor is what I'm going for. I think it'll be early in the second round. I think he'll do most of the damage in the first. And then done in two.
We're agreeing. We're agreeing. I'm done. Yeah,
this is a bad omen.
It is a bad omen.
Terrible can happen.
Listen, Jesus, don't be saying that now. Someone gets sick this week and the fight's bloody called off. That would be a fucking nightmare. But stranger things have happened, I suppose, if you look at Habib and Tony. But let's not even go there. Jeez, I'm cursing Everett now.
You've got to stay away from that. But so I guess I'll see you in 2 weeks. It won't be, because we'll have to do a kind of a variation of the bash next week, because I won't even be home until it goes out.
Have a fun one, motherfuckers, and enjoy the card, and I hope you have a great time in Vegas. Buy me something.
All right.
Send me back a burger in the post. I'd love it at Johnny Rockets or something like that.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm getting home on Tuesday and going to Amsterdam on Wednesday.
What are you doing in Amsterdam, Pete?
Going away with Elaine.
What are you doing in Amsterdam?
Just, you know what I mean. I have
beautiful cities. Lots for a of long
time, yeah. Like for a long time, I think that I wanted to get involved in the sex trade. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rent myself a little window.
You and Jose.
And wax me back and see if I can make back the money I spent in Vegas.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's it, guys.
Be a lot of people sick after that.
Oh, yeah. Including myself.
Gonna have a ball, man. I'm looking forward to your coverage anyway. It should be a fun one.
All right. Love yous loads. See you soon.